Andrew, before we talk about the International Day of Prayer's focus for Nigeria, just bring us up to date on the scale of these attacks that are happening on an ongoing basis in Nigeria, and bring us up to date on this latest spate of attacks that claim more than 50 lives.
Well, this has been going on for a long time now, but in the latest attacks, there was a hue and cry raised in a marketplace in Kaduna, cries of Allahu Akbar. Some 50 people, possibly more than that, were killed as a result of it, and a church was burned. In a separate attack in Kaduna, this is an area in the north of Nigeria, 7 Christian farmers were killed. And this is the kind of thing which is going on. Those numbers are quite high, but there's a constant stream of attacks against Christians. We all know the situation with Boko Haram, but there's a much deadlier menace that's arisen in Nigeria, and that is heavily armed Fulani militants. Now, these are Muslim herdsmen, they're nomadic, they've always traveled the country, and they've always cooperated with the Christian farmers there, but now they're being heavily armed, and they are driving Christians out of their villages. The United Nations has described this as a humanitarian crisis. And according to Release International's partner on the ground there, who's dealing with the aftermath of this and providing trauma counseling for people and other help, in the first 6 months of this year alone, some 6,000 people have been killed and close to 50,000 displaced. It's hugely underreported, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to be praying into it and acting.
Just take us through, for people to try and picture the scene. What kind of devastation do they cause? Do they destroy entire villages, church buildings? And how do they manage to make such an impact in these communities?
Well, they're acting as terrorists, and I'm not saying that lightly. So what would happen is, typically, they would send a message to a village saying, we're coming to get you. The next thing that would happen is that they would fire shots in the dead of night and set fire to their houses. As the Christians run out of their burning homes and flee, these militants are lying in wait around the villages with machetes, and they cut them down. So there's widespread slaughter, then they take over the villages. Now, they're nomadic herdsmen. They don't need to occupy land. What they need to do is what they've been doing for years, which is cooperate with the farmers. Everybody benefits from that, and they have done for years. But right now, what is happening is they are being armed to the teeth. We're talking about people attacking villages without weapons. They're attacking them with AK-47s. And there's only one agenda that this serves, and that is the agenda to drive Christians out of the north of Nigeria. It's the same agenda that Boko Haram have been operating on, though Boko Haram say they want the whole of Nigeria to be an Islamic state. They have no chance of that. But there are signs that Christians are being displaced in large numbers from the north. Much of the north has now embraced Sharia law, and it looks as though we're seeing a movement to break Nigeria in half and create a north which is Islamist, strictly fundamentalist, firebrand Islam.
How does it affect the Christians in these communities? Are they able to restore these church buildings? Do they still gather to worship?
They're being driven out in huge numbers. If you think about the Chibok situation, which we're quite aware of, just how isolated and how vulnerable those communities were when Boko Haram attacked, this is the same thing happening on a much, much wider scale, but instead of kidnapping, it's slaughter. So they are incredibly vulnerable, and what's happening is they are being driven out, they're being displaced. Many of them are ending up in camps for the displaced, which Release International's partners are helping to run. They are traumatized, they've seen appalling things, they've suffered appalling things. They need help in restoring themselves, let alone their homes. So what we're seeing is an exodus of people from the north of Nigeria. And the most concerning thing, if there is anything more concerning than this, is that the army and the police seem to be doing absolutely nothing to help. In fact, there have been reports that are credible where elements of the military have been supporting the militants, just as there have been reports that elements of the military have been supporting Boko Haram and making it possible for them. So right now you have the Fulani disappearing, having done their attacks, into areas that the police say are no-go areas. They're not safe for them to go, which means there is nobody there to protect them. So in some cases, Christians have had to take self-defense upon themselves. In other cases, because they've just fled. It's a very difficult situation and it is not being reported widely.
Just explain how Release International is calling on Christians to join you for an International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church this Sunday, and also some of the resources you have for churches to get involved.
Yes, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is now in its 22nd year, and it's not just Release that's doing it. There are many organisations around the world who are taking part in this. Release's focus, though, is on Nigeria. And the thinking behind this is, in just the same way as on November the 11th, we wear our poppy and we remember those who've made a sacrifice. On November the 18th, IDOP, it's called, we're saying, please remember, stand with the Christian brothers and sisters who are paying an extraordinary price for being identified as Christians in those nations, particularly Nigeria at the moment, because it is so little reported and so little prayed for, therefore. So we stand together on that day and we remember and we pray. Hebrews 13:3 tells us to remember those who are in chains, just as we ourselves are suffering. That is compassion. It's about standing with people, right with them, sharing what they're going through, sharing their feelings, so we can pray into these things effectively and we can put our love into action. So it's a call for compassion. It's a call to be mindful of Christians in Nigeria and to give these people what we can all give them, which is our prayerful concern. We can raise them to God and pray for help for them. Release has made available resources on the Release International website. They include, for instance, videos. There is a prayer which people can pray. We can show that in church. It's brief. There's also a video talking to one of our very courageous partners in Nigeria who's describing the situation and the trauma counselling they're providing, including images of those camps. And there's a short PowerPoint presentation. So everything is there, ready, bite-sized and available, so that people can actually use those things in their churches as a focus for prayer or within their small groups.
And what's the website if people want to find out more?
ReleaseInternational.org, very simple. You could look up, if you go on the site and look up IDOP, I-D-O-P.
Andrew Boyd from Release International, thanks so much for speaking to us.